say many years ago.
I don't know why, but many years ago. But at Eastside, where I preached for 14 years, we had a situation, a bad marriage situation. And I felt like maybe for the husband's sake, I would preach this and try to help. Well, it turned out that the husband was probably not the primary problem. But I tried. And I applied this to myself as I preached it. Well, as you all know, I don't have a wife now. She passed away. But I really love the thoughts of this sermon, and I just feel like it would really be good for us to study this sermon. Basically, it has to do with 1 Corinthians 13. Several different Greek words are translated as love or charity in the New Testament. Some of the words mean brotherly love, family love, friendship, and so forth. The Greek word used throughout 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 and 13, translated love, is the Greek word agape, which is the type of love, think about this now, it is the kind of love that means I want good things to happen to you. Women should have this love for their husbands. Husbands should have this love for their wives. I want good things to happen to you. The Apostle Paul, who wrote these verses of 1 Corinthians 13, tells us that love is extremely important for Christians to have for each other. And the quotations I'm going to be reading are from the New King James Version. Before I go on, I want good things to happen to you. In my study, I have pictures and pictures galore of Santa. I have one up on my bookshelf, and it's her when she was probably no more than a year old, if that old. And many times I told her, as I pointed to that picture, she'd come in or something like that, I said, you know what? I want to make that little girl happy. That was my goal. She had a picture of me. And it was probably around 3, I guess. And she said, well, that's my goal for you. But many is the time that I thought about that. I wanted to make that little girl happy. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul wrote, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not loved, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not loved, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In other words, love just keeps on going. Love does not give up. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And I skip a few now. Verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, you men, what I want you to do is to think about the points that I'm going to make. Because I love her. Now then, can you say that? Do you mean that? Do you love your wife? Think about this. Because I love her, I will be slow to lose patience with her. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long. Because I love her, I will strive to dwell with her in a kind, considerate, and thoughtful way. Even on days when I am tired and pressured and tempted to use these things as excuses not to care for her and to give her the tender, loving care that she needs. 1 Corinthians 13:4 reminds us that love is kind. And I want you to think again about that little definition of agape that I gave you a while ago. I want good things to happen to you. Now, I will say, I'd have to say I'm fairly well pleased with what I managed, but I was not perfect. There were times that I made mistakes, but Sandra loved me too. She was willing to look over those, just as I was willing to look over things she did. Because I love her, I will not treat her as an object to be possessed or manipulated. I will not allow myself to become jealous or insecure in our love and relationship, so that we will be free to have healthy spaces in our relationship one with the other. 1 Corinthians 13:4 also says love does not envy. And I can think of so many illustrations, but I'm not using all of those. Because I love her, I have no need to brag or to try to impress her with how great I am, nor will I ever stoop to belittle her in order to make myself look or appear superior to her. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up, Proverbs 26 and verse 12 says, "A man who is wise in his own conceits, there's more hope for a fool than for that man." To be wise in your own conceits is a ridiculous thing to do. Because I love her, I will do everything possible to see things from her viewpoint and to help her to grow and succeed in areas that are important to her. I will strive never purposely to embarrass her or to act in any unbecoming way which would not honor her. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, love does not behave rudely. We don't need to behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. Because I love her, I am committed to plotting her happiness and feel saddened when I do not fulfill her in the way I long to see her fulfilled. I genuinely strive to put her interests above my own. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, love does not seek its own. And in Philippians 2 and verse 4, we have the statement, "Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others." We need to think of that one that we live with. Consider her. There are some things I feel like I did pretty well. One thing I can say, that I always put her interests, Sandra's interests, above mine. I was always ready, willing to spend money for her, spend money for the children. In fact, I didn't like to buy things for me.
I still don't. Because I love her, I will always be for her.
I want the best for her more than I want the best for myself. I desire for her to be able to see God's perfect love shining through me to her. 1 Corinthians 13:5, love does not seek its own. And in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, we are told, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word." The love of Christ for his church is held up as an example. Because I love her, I will not take into account every wrong suffered, so that I can use them in the future against her in order to win an argument. No, you don't do that. I will not point out or send down my wrath upon every little mistake that I see her make. Instead, I will strive to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. James 1:19. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, "Love is not provoked, thinks no evil." One of the things that I had is we trusted each other. That trust was never betrayed. Never. You strive to do that too. Don't ever betray your wife's trust. And I pray that she never betrays yours. Because I love her, I will rejoice when it turns out she was right and I was wrong. I was saved. That one takes some work. I will have the humility to commend her for her insight and wisdom. And on the other hand, I will resist the temptation to remind her when I am the one who is right. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Because I love her, I will keep on working patiently on the things she requests of me, even when I feel like giving up, and even when I don't understand why these things matter so much to her. Nevertheless, I will bear with her. And 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things. Now, those of you who heard the funeral talk that I made, you know that I acknowledge that I owe her more than she owes me. Because I love her, I will keep on trusting in her and believing in her, even when at times she may have trouble believing in and trusting in herself. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, love believes all things. Because I love her, I will never say, there's no hope for us. Even during the most difficult of times. Instead, I will patiently wait and lead and serve her in such a way that she will never have cause to doubt the depth of my concern for her. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love hopes all things. Because I love her, I will never forsake her or abandon her, but will remain faithful and loyal to her. I will be willing to endure all things for the sake of her and for the sake of our love. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love endures all. I made the point to her and others, many others. We like to talk about love as a gentle, beautiful, beautiful thing. But I also like to point out that love is a very tough thing. Love is a very strong thing. And if you nurture that love, it is indeed strong. And it won't break. Sometimes the upholstery gets a little bit worn, a little bit ragged, but that steel frame underneath holds it together. It keeps it going. Because I love her, I will not fail her. But will stand by her even when she has reached the rock bottom of despair, knowing there is no valley so deep or darkness so dark that the light of my love for her will not be able to penetrate it eventually. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Never. Because I love her, I will work to keep my perspective and love God
even more than I love her. Knowing that only when we both put God first and each other second can we experience the true union and intimacy that is a reflection of the greatest of all God's gifts, God's perfect love. The only thing that will truly never, ever fail. People have reported to me through the years that the reason why they got a divorce was that they walked into the house one night and their spouse said, "I don't love you anymore. Let's get a divorce." It is not that you have mistreated me, nor am I in love with someone else. It is just that I don't love you anymore.
I've had people say that. Have you ever known people to say that? I know, looking out among you. I know some of you have had that experience.
According to what the Bible teaches, if you don't love your spouse anymore, you are sinning. That's what you're doing. You're sinning. You may say, "Well, I don't feel like." Well, it doesn't matter what you feel like. You have a command. A command.
You need to honor that command because that command is from God.
According to what the Bible teaches, if you don't love your spouse anymore, you're sinning.
And you need to repent of this sin. Because Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her."
Titus 2:4, "Admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children."
And unfortunately, I've known some on both sides. It was the wife that called a halt to everything. It was the husband that called a halt to everything.
Either one of them can do it.
And when they do it, it is wrong. It is sin. They will meet God in judgment
if they do that. Or someone says, "Well, I told her I loved her when we got married 10 years ago, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let her know."
Boy, now that's love. Isn't that love? Wow. I just admire somebody like that. Wouldn't I love to be married to somebody like that? No. No, I would avoid being married to someone like that, like a 10-foot pole. No.
Such people profess to know God, Titus 1:16, but in works they deny him. Parallel, he professes to love his wife, but in what he does, it is clear he does not love his wife.
Love is to be a demonstration. It is amazing how often a husband can buy a new shotgun, a new hunting dog, a new truck. But if the wife needs a new dress, we can't afford it. You'll have to do without. The husband may be telling the truth here. He really can't afford it because he has spent all his money on the new shotgun, the new hunting dog, the new truck. But somehow the husband is always able to find a way to buy what he wants rather than what the wife needs. This isn't the right way to treat your wife. This isn't showing her that you love her. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, Peter gives the reason for writing the book of 2 Peter, to remind them of certain things he admitted they already knew. Peter wasn't talking about love in 2 Peter 1:12-15, but the point is the same for this lesson. Peter knew
There are times we need to be reminded of things we already know, such as this lesson. So we've heard these things, but we need to be reminded of them. Let us continue to show our wife or our husband how much we love them by treating them the way Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 and verse 13. Let that be our goal. I can tell you that the benefits are worth it. I can tell you. So I hope that this lesson has helped you. It helped me when I preached it that first time a number of years ago. And I think about it. I think about it even now. What I do now is I think back over things I've done and I say, oh, I hope I did the right thing. You know, that's one of the things about when you get older and especially you lose the one that you love, then you say, oh, did I treat her as I should? You always find a little guilt. One of the pictures I have, I like. I have all kinds of pictures. One, Judy sent me recently. That's her sister. A few months ago. There's one I never saw. She's about 3 years old. Prettiest little picture. So, I treasure her. Treasure your wife. Treasure your husband. I wish that I had the power. Deal with that person, both the persons who are having trouble in a marriage relationship. I wish I could just say, look, here's what you're doing wrong, now straighten up. I wish I could do that. I really do. But I might get shot. Because it's not a matter of how you feel. You're not faithful when you feel like it. You're faithful always because God said it. That's what you do. But I feel sorry for somebody for whom marriage is just going through ceremony. Just going through the motions. That's not good. That's not good. But if you love one another, if you love one another, and you go ahead and do what you are supposed to do. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. As you should. And read again, 1 Corinthians 13. Especially 1 through 8 and verse 13. That's what I need to do. You do that. And you're married. That's not my promise. It's God's promise. If you're not a child of God, you need to be a child of God. You cannot serve God without obeying. Become a child of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Be baptized into the Lord Jesus. If you are a Christian, but you have not been faithful, I usually don't say that. I usually say, if you're a child of God, but you haven't been faithful, because I have a pretty high standard about what a Christian is, I think a Christian has to be a practicing Christian. If you're not, you're a child of God. Yeah, you were born again. But you haven't been living as Christian. If that describes you, you need to repent. You need to repent and pray for forgiveness. Let the Lord forgive you and restore you to His faithfulness.
you're subject to the invitation in any way, we invite you to come.